This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Bench 1775 will be part of the Naramata Bench Wineries Association pour in Victoria for Rewind, Wednesday, April 24th. All the details at bench1775.com. Hello and welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We took tastingroomradio.com and folded it into mulliganstew.ca and mulliganstew the podcast so you could find all three shows in one spot. You can find our show, Tasting Room Radio, under Tasting Room Radio, or you can find it at mulliganstew.ca. Have I confused? Never mind. By the way, next week, we are going to do our annual sit-down with the Okanagan Falls Winery Association. Interviews with the winemakers at Blasted Church, Bonamici, Crescent Hill Liquidity, Meyer Family, Nighthawk, Noble Ridge, Pentage, Skaha, Stags Hollow, Synchromesh, and Wild Goose. It's such fun, and I'm hoping that you'll discover a new wine to carry you through the summer and on into the fall, and maybe your whole life. Okanagan Falls next week, the whole show on Tasting Room Radio. We're going to do the same thing with the Naramata Bench Wineries Association in Victoria at the end of April. This show, very interesting. The first guest on this show is one of the great winemakers of the world, Alberto Antonini. He's been consulting for Okanagan Crush Pad for a number of years, since 2010, actually. And the wines have consistently improved year after year with great teamwork and wonderful talents. He's also a world-class winemaker with projects in Chile, Argentina, Italy, California, South Africa, Portugal, Uruguay, Armenia, and Australia. That's how busy he is. So the first guest is Alberto Antonini. We finish the show with his friend, Pedro Parra. Pedro Parra is the kind of talent, the kind of genius, who can dig a hole in the ground, run the dirt and the shale and the loam through his hands, and after studying what he knows, can tell the owner of that land exactly what kind of vines should be planted in that valley or that location. And he wasn't going to be a winemaker. He's educated at the Alliance Française, studied forestry. He spent 2 years as a jazz saxophonist, but then his uncle offered him a job researching precision agriculture using maps and satellite photography. And so for 18 months, Pedro Parra studied agronomy and soil types, and he also became interested in wine. He became a terroir specialist, and he's on a roll now, helping to plant and create wines in some of the great winemaking regions of the world. He has found his way to Okanagan Crush Pad, thanks to David Schofield. And they're working in partnership with the talent at Okanagan Crush Pad, Haywire Wines, David Schofield, and Alberto Antonini. They have helped to create a true legend in the making in the Garnet Valley. So we start with Alberto Antonini. We finish with Pedro Parra. In the middle, two of the most wonderful people. I believe one of the greatest, if not the greatest, storyteller in the world of wine, Jane Ferrari from Yolumba in the Barossa Valley. She spins stories, but she has a great one because we did the interview at the Roundhouse at Top Drop 2018. And in that actual Roundhouse, and actually in the train that's in the Roundhouse, the man who started Yolumba and helped to create the Australian wine industry actually spent time there on that train in Vancouver and Victoria trying to teach himself about wine and about how to sell wine to people. So she was thrilled to be there. And then finally, Brigitte Ray from Orto Artisan Pasta. Here's the thing. You may drive by this building and never give it a second thought. You'll see on the outside of this building on McKay Road in North Vancouver, Bad Dog Bread. There's actually four businesses in that building. But Brigitte Ray has created the most amazing French-Italian hybrid restaurant. Now, you would know her from Regalade and other restaurants that she's had. But if you believe in her as a restaurateur, this room is for you. Find them. They're right around the corner from Everything Wine in North Vancouver. Enjoy the show.
This is Tasting Room Radio. Here's your host, Terry David Mulligan.
I have found Alberto Antonini at a pour for Poggio Tondo. Did you bring your Poggio Tondo?
Yes, I pour my family wines from the place where I was born and raised, Poggio Tondo, and still where I live with my family in Tuscany.
How much do you see that home these days?
Well, I think I'm very busy with my consulting work, would say I'm traveling half of my time. Which is a lot, but you know, I have been doing this for 25 years, and this, you know, that become part of my life. And you know,
I notice you take your music with you
all the times. It's an addiction.
So I walk in, you're playing Muddy Waters.
Yes.
And now you got Miles Kind of Blue.
Yes. Now it's this is the I play Muddy Waters because Davis Caulfield, when we first met about 25 years ago, he took me this CD, Hard Again. And this really was very important to me because it introduced me to the very best blues. And then, you know, all the times we see each other, I put that CD and, you know, and then started with Manish Boy and everything. And he's very happy. I'm very happy. We have an amazing friendship that is lasting for, you know, over 25 years. And it's been pretty much about music and wine.
So this room is, you know, although it's small, has a number of wines that you've been involved in. Just take us around the room. What have you been working on and what have you consulted on?
I started consulting with Chris Coleda and her husband Steve since day one. You know, they hired me through David because David obviously knew me, and we met at their beautiful house by the lake, and we started talking about this project. And I said, you know, this is such an amazing, unspoiled part of the world. I don't want to even think that we can, you know, manage the vineyard the way that you see around, throwing on the soil so many poisons and, you know, and just killing the beauty of this place. And I say, we should start growing the grapes with a different concept, which is basically going back to the future, because, you know, what we call today organic and biodynamic is exactly what the farmer used to do 70 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's nothing new at all. And they love the idea, and we started working together, and I'm very, very glad to see that now the project is really working very, very well. They actually need to increase the facility because, you know, the sales are growing every year, and it's they deserve it because they were so committed and so passionate from day one, also going through a lot of troubles because, you know, starting such a project 10 years ago was not easy, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's becoming more easy because there are more and more people that are looking for that kind of wines. But when they decided along with me to, you know, develop the project that way, it was just really a big challenge. So I'm so glad to see them succeeding because they deserve it, you know.
What did they want to grow, and what did you influence them to grow? What did you suggest they grow?
I basically told them that in order to make wines with a sense of place, like most people like to say these days, you need to preserve the place. So you need to understand, you know, the way of connecting your wine to the terroir.
Yeah.
And this connection happens if you farm as people used to farm in the past, with a very good soil management, making sure that the soil has got porosity, making sure that there is a microbiology into the soil which is responsible of connecting the vine roots with the terroir. And all this is gonna grow, you know, grapes that then make very alive, vibrant, pure, authentic wines. So this is something that may seem difficult, and is difficult, but at the end we are doing much less of what most other people do growing conventionally. We are using very little chemicals, and all natural chemicals like sulfur and copper, a lot of compost, a lot of cover crop. And I think it's everything has happened pretty easily because the terroir is great, the environmental conditions are exceptional. So if you let the natural speak, and if you put the soil and the whole system in the condition of expressing themselves in the best way, you end up making very good wine. So it's very simple. It's not.
I have found Alberto Antonini at a pour for Poggiotondo. You're pouring Poggiotondo. What did you bring to pour?
I brought. They are distributing. With HQ, the company that, you know, is distributing also the Haywire wines, some other wines from different parts of the world, not very many, but all wines which are into this concept of you know, growing the grapes this way and making the wine with not much intervention. Try to, again, just trying hard to let the terroir speak. And I'm pouring my Vermentino, which is a white grape that is grown in Tuscany, and my Chianti, which is the... And that's... But people have been very happy. I think, you know, here in Vancouver, wine people are quite, you know, sophisticated. So they really enjoy the purity of the wines, the authenticity. They don't need, you know, to drink winemaker's wine, as I like to say, which I don't like. You know, my wines are not winemaker's wine, are terroir-driven wines.
Did I see Pedro in the room?
Yes, Pedro is right there. You see, next to me, you see David.
Is he pouring his wines?
Yeah, he's pouring his wine, which are also very interesting. They're coming from probably the most exciting and beautiful wine region in Chile, which is in the very south, and which has been neglected for ages because was very far away from the main city, from Santiago, and because it's not making big, bold wines. And but it's exceptional because it's got beautiful terroir. There are very old vines, dry farm for over 100 years, and it's amazing. And they have very interesting grape, like Sinsault, and like, you know, some others, which are really very, very exciting.
I have found Alberto Antonini at a pour for Poggiotondo. Tell me about Garnet Valley. How's it turning out?
Well, it's a baby vineyard, but we were tasting before the Pinot Noir from 2017, which has been just released, and it's really very elegant, very, very, very nice. Again, it's an example, you know, what we want to deliver is not us. You know, we want to deliver the essence of this beautiful part of the world, which is the Okanagan, and it's... And I think their wine is also showing this concept because it's a wine that is coming from a young vineyard, but a vineyard that since day one has been fed with very good food, has been done an amazing micro-terroir work, so we know exactly where to do what, because a vineyard is a very complex world, and, you know, so we are selecting grapes from their vineyards according to the level of quality we want to achieve. And it is a magnificent example of what the Okanagan can deliver, and which shouldn't be another, you know, boring kind of Bordeaux kind of copy. You know, there are too many of them, and that's enough.
We need new voices.
Well, actually, again, these new voices probably are much older.
Yeah.
Because we are trying to get along very well, you know, the best way possible with Mother Nature, and, you know, our wines are, again, are not winemaker wines, are terroir-driven wines, and they are pure, authentic. There are no influence of, we are not using the barbecue sauce, the new toasted French small barrels, and so we like the purity, and that's very simple. So we try to do less in order to get more.
Were you using concrete before these guys came along?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been one of the, again, I can't say pioneer, because concrete was there already, yeah, before stainless steel. Actually, at Poggiotondo, my father started the business in 68 and was all concrete tanks. And then when I finished university, you know, and about 40 years ago, was the time that concrete has to be removed because it was not clean, and was stainless steel time, you know? So I had to tell my father, you know, I want to take all the concrete tanks out for the winery. He said, no, you can't do that. I won't allow to do it. And then, you know, I fight for probably a couple of years, and they say, okay, do it, but tell me when did I go 1 week on holiday. I can't see, you know, I can't see that. And that... And they obviously bought a lot of stainless steel. Then, about 20 years ago, I went back to what my father was passed away already. And I'm sure that wherever he is, you know, he's going to say, you know, I always thought you were an idiot. And that's and that's just to confirm that I was right. You know, because actually it's all about going back to the future. It's nothing new. I was a pioneer in rediscovering the concrete about 17 years ago. I started in Argentina and Italy, wherever, you know, I push very much the use of concrete because it's a very natural material. It's very, has got porosity, it's very alive, and when you make natural wines, the natural yeast coming with the fruit love that environment.
Alberto Antonini at a pour for Poggiotondo. What are you pioneering now?
Now I'm trying hard to give my clients more confidence in what they would like to do but sometimes feel uncomfortable to do. Which means that one of the worst enemies of pure, natural, good wines is the market. And most people are too much focused on making wine for the market. You can't do that. You have to stay focused on doing all the best you can in your place and then go out and find the market for it. So, but that requires confidence. As often, the producer don't have confidence because they say, I would like to do this, but then the market would like that. Don't worry about that. Do it and go out with pride and you'll see that you'll find people who likes your wines. So, basically, my last years have been more years in which I had tried hard to, you know, give more confidence to my client, build the confidence, and forget about copying some other famous region, which is absolutely wrong. So I'm one of those who has been fighting a lot against the devastating Bordeaux colonization of the wine world. And that's also another issue that you need to work on, because most people, if you look at the Okanagan is a very fragile terroir environment. The natural flavor you get are very fragile, are beautiful, they are elegant, they are so refined. But if you use, you know, the Bordeaux recipe, you kill them all.
Yeah.
And you end up just with another wine, which is a copy of a mediocre original.
And they do it better.
And they do it better. There's no doubt about it. And when you copy, you never generate value.
Well, you answered my last question, which was going to be, how are we doing in British Columbia? How's the future look for us? And it's important that we get it from you because you see it from outside eyes. You come in, you see it with fresh...
Well, when I first got to the Okanagan, I was amazed by the beauty of this place. And I was shocked to see all this dead soil killed with herbicides and chemical fertilizer. To me, the potential of the Okanagan is huge. But again, you need to have the confidence of showing the essence of Okanagan. Forget about Bordeaux, Burgundy. We don't need to copy. You have to stay focused on doing very well your own things and trying to deliver the essence of your place, because the essence of the Okanagan is fantastic. It's about elegance. It's about complexity. It's about finesse. But it's a very fragile environment. So it's you had to, it's like a crystal ball. You had to handle with a lot of care because, you know, if you fall, it breaks down.
What wine did you bring?
We, you know, this is a Poggiotondo Chianti 2015, which is also an example of a kind of traditional wine made, you know, in the third millennium. But it's a Sangiovese-based blend. That's the original formula, Sangiovese, Canaiolo, and Colorino, has been fermented in cement and aged part of it in cement and part in large untoasted cask by 5,000 liters.
Can we buy this in British Columbia now?
You can.
Do you know the price point? Do you know your price points?
No, I decided that each one has to pay what he or she believes is the price to pay. So
okay.
It has no price.
This is the best possible interview that I could do this year. I have you, Alberto Antonini. I have Miles Davis on the box. I have Poggiotondo in my glass, and life is good. All right, get home safely. Here's to Miles and Muddy.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Bench 1775 will be part of the Naramata Bench Wineries Association pour in Victoria for Rewind, Wednesday, April 24th. All the details at bench1775.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the Wine Align National Wine Awards, number one winery in Canada. Summer hours are approaching. They're open Easter weekend to Thanksgiving. The castle is open daily, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Details at road13vineyards.com.
This is a Top Drop 2018 in Vancouver, year 5. And I was going to go alphabetically from A to Y or Z or Z, and that's when I realized that I would never get to Yolumba if I didn't come straight over and bypass all of the other letters in the alphabet and go straight to Yolumba and find Jane Ferrari. I notice on your really fancy schmancy card that it doesn't say what your title is. I ask you this every time. Does it change? What is the title?
Whatever they need me to do whenever.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Jane is the voice of and the face of and the presence of Yolumba to those of us around the world and also for South Australia, in fact. Where have you come from?
From Edmonton, oil town.
Were you watching hockey? What were you doing? Were you a porn?
No, we were doing some pretty fabulous events. Edmonton is has been tremendous to us, and we've got a great distributor on the ground there and a very small team. There's only three of them, and we've all become very good mates, and some very cool stuff is going on in Edmonton food and wine wise, and especially with the way that old Strathcona is just coming alive. Yep. In leaps and bounds. So we've kind of gone with it and done really cool wine events, mostly I have to say in various venues in old Strathcona. And we did a wine dinner. We did the first wine dinner that Holy Roller has ever done, and it was just magic. You know, things like the signature with a trio of thin-cut lamb loin chops, doused in garlic and red wine, just fantastic stuff. And we always catch up with Mary Bailey from the Tomato magazine. Yeah. We always catch up with Juanita Ruse from the Edmonton Journal. And they're getting stuff done there. They put that Magic Entertainment Centre and an ice arena up in like 18 months. And, they like us, we like them.
Did you take in a hockey game?
I haven't seen a hockey game this trip.
Good Lord.
But I was in Las Vegas when it was going just crazy when the Golden Knights got through to the next round of the Stanley Cup. So I was there with the Wine Spectator Grand Tour.
Well done.
Yeah.
So give us an overview quickly on Yolumba. How are we doing 2018?
We're doing well. We released our Super Claret last year. We waited for we were waiting for a really spectacular vintage of signature of our Cabernet Shiraz blend, and 2012 was just gorgeous. The George Clooney smooth from start to finish vintage, and we kept about 10 or 12 barrels hogsheads back, and we hung on to it a little bit longer, and we've put it out as the Cayley Super Claret, and we released 5,500 bottles for the world. And we've actually been showing that around Canada since the 13th of May last year. We've done a few jobs, a few events, and it's just Cabernet Shiraz is coming into its own. Grenache, 100-year-old Grenache on its own roots is trendy as.
Jane Ferrari from Yolumba. She is the voice and face of Yolumba. But there couldn't be a better representative for South Australia and for Yolumba than Jane Ferrari. This is Tasting Room Radio, a top drop, fifth year, 2018, at the Roundhouse in Vancouver. If you could tell us about the two Viogniers that you're pouring and what makes them different.
Yeah, sure. The two Viogniers we have today is the Eden Valley Viognier, which is the little sister, and the Vigilius, which is the big sister. Essentially, Vigilius is a barrel selection of the 22 acres that makes up both wines. And it takes us about a month to pick by hand. The trick with Viognier is to get it ripe enough to get the characteristic apricot, peach, stone fruit, blossom on the nose, viscosity on the palate that Condrieu, the spiritual home of Viognier, say that you need to get it true to form. And you need to pick it a little bit riper, and so you have to handle it with kid gloves. And we hand pick it, bag press it, ferment it all out with wild yeast, actively discourage malolactic, and we get roughly 90 to 95 hogsheads off that vineyard. And everything that's really bright jumping out of the glass goes to Eden Valley Viognier. Everything that shows a little bit more restraint, a little bit more French expression, lemongrass, ginger, something with the X factor, goes to Vigilius.
So the two Grenaches that you're pouring, Jane Ferrari, from Yolumba, is the old bush vine Grenache, which I am attracted to, anything that says old and bush vine. But the other one is the tricentenary Grenache. So,
well, you've hit the jackpot with both of those, because both of them are off old bush vines. We have a block, a 42-acre block on the sandbank, 9 feet of river sand over clay between Vinevale and Light Pass on the Barossa Valley floor. and the tricentenary is the 800 odd vines that make up 2 acres in the middle of that vineyard that were planted in 1889. So they're the real old timers, and that's just got gorgeous length, and it's got a real lushness of fruit, raspberry over rosemary in the middle palate. And the bushvine Grenache is the little baby brother that comes from everything else on that vineyard, and that's 1940s through 1960s planted bushvines. And also there was originally, when Robert and Sam bought that vineyard in 1999, there was some Pinot Noir and Chenin Blanc there. It's too hot to grow that, so we pulled it out, and we've actually replanted that area with cuttings from the old tricentenary block. And they call it tricentenary because basically Brian Walsh, our winemaker, our chief winemaker that used to be, was a bit of a wordsmith, and basically it was planted in the 19th century, made it through the 20th and the 21st. So
Jane Ferrari from Yalumba, she is the voice and face of Yalumba. And then there's the Scribbler and the Signature, they're both blends, the Cab Sav Shiraz.
Yep, that's little brother, big brother again. Signature is the best combination of Cabernet Shiraz we can make in any given vintage. And it's been called Signature since 1960. Before that, of course, it was called Galway Claret after Governor Galway, Yalumba Galway Claret, and Claret because that's dry red, firm finish, Cabernet dominant. So anything that's not quite intense enough to make Signature just yet, since 2006, we've had the Scribbler as a label, little brother to Signature, that we can put it in, and we can park it there until those vineyards get old enough and the fruit's intense enough to make Signature.
Jane Ferrari from Yalumba, she is the voice and face of Yalumba. We see her once a year if we're lucky, once every other year. There couldn't be a better representative for South Australia and for Yalumba than Jane Ferrari. This is Tasting Room Radio, a top drop, fifth year, 2018, at the Roundhouse in Vancouver. How cool is it that you're in the Roundhouse?
Well, I was just saying to one of the young fellows from a local restaurant, it is really cool because the Roundhouse is actually where the old turntable is to turn the engines around at the end of the train line. And this is, there's an old engine over here that was the first engine that pulled the transatlantic crossing from Toronto across Canada, right, with Canadian rail. Now here's the cool thing. That was like in 1893, Robert and Sam's grandfather's elder brother, Fred Cayley Smith, who the Cayley Super Claret is named after, was here in Vancouver because he was on an 18-month trip to the Americas and the Dominion of Canada to get as much information as possible about fruit growing, because we had a fruit canning operation. And he'd been on the island of Victoria because they had this amazing innovation on Victoria in 1893 where they started putting preserved fruit into glass and had a really cool label and you could see the fruit. And our Fred Cayley Smith sent a letter home to his father saying, "You should see this, it's just extraordinary. We need to take that anemic looking woman label off our can, you know, and we need to get something really spectacular. And you can see the fruit, you can see how good it is." And he caught the train from here all the way through the Rockies, up through Banff, down to Edmonton and across to Toronto, where he then went down through Boston and caught a transatlantic steamer to England through New York. So how cool is that?
The Cayley comes
how
full
cool
circle.
How cool is that? Yeah.
That's very nice.
I didn't know till I got here today.
And neither one of us were here to welcome him. Okay, I just want you to know that. I've got to try the Scribbler, and I have to try the Signature, and then I'm done with Yalumba.
Good eye. We'll put those next to each other for you.
Jane Ferrari from Yalumba. She is the voice and face of Yalumba. We see her once a year, if we're lucky, once every other year, and she just travels the world. You can't imagine the air miles that this woman has. But there couldn't be a better representative for South Australia and for Yalumba than Jane Ferrari. This is Tasting Room Radio, a top drop, fifth year, 2018, at the Roundhouse in Vancouver.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Canada's number one winery, Road 13. It's time to book your dinner with Backyard Farms and Road 13. Amazing artisan wines with four-course meals prepared by Chef Chris Van Hooydonk of Backyard Farms. May 4, July 27, August 17, September 28, and October the 5th. All the details at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The Big Day Out Party, May 26th from 11 to 4. You get to taste the new releases with winemaker Dan Wright, vineyard tours, and if you're a member of the wine club, it's your chance to pick up your annual case. The same day, it's the Big Day Out Winemaker's Dinner with Chef Martin and Winemaker Dan. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.
My name is Mulligoon.
My name is Brigitte Rayet.
Oh, man.
In English, Brigitte Ray.
Brigitte Ray. Brigitte Ray is the owner of Orto Artisan Pasta. And I'll give you the address, 1600 McKay Road, North Vancouver. Basically, you know where Everything Wine is. It's around the corner. It's just across the street, right there. It's just in the neighborhood. Just park in the neighborhood. You'll see the cars piled up trying to get into this place. Because, by the way, on the front of the restaurant, it says Bad Dog Bread. So that's why I've come. I've started there now. Hello, Brigitte.
Hello, Terry. Nice to see you.
Thank you. We had a wonderful meal here the other night. We're still talking about it. Tell me about Bad Dog Bread, first of all.
So this business here, this location, is shared between two businesses. We have Orto, and I'm the owner of Orto Artisan Pasta, and Bad Dog Bread is the bakery, and Vadim is the owner of the Bad Dog Bread. We started together, that's 17 months ago. The story of this place is quite interesting. It was not for sale, not for lease. But one day I was walking in the neighborhood, had a beer at the Hurricane Grill just next door, parked my car around there and walked in front of this place. And with my new husband, who is Italian, we looked at this place and we both had the same idea. That would be a great little place, Italian place. Problem was not for sale, not for lease.
What was here then?
It was called Ethical Kitchen. It was a little organic cafe, very simple. And so we tried to reach the owner. Not easy, but we did it. And I said, well, I love your place. Is there a way for me to meet you and talk about it? Maybe I can do something in the place. And she said, well, too bad, I just leased it to a baker. I said, holy macaroni, that's not a big deal. I said, well, the baker bakes at night, what about daytime? And she said, well, I'm here for lunch, but you can run the dinner. And I said, that's a deal. And that's how the idea started. After a few meetings, she said, you know what, I'm very busy, why don't you take lunch too? So I just had to deal with the baker. We met and we said, let's take a chance. And the lady who was here is still in the building. She's at the back doing her kombucha, ethical kombucha. And Vadim, the baker, opens the place at 7 o'clock, 7 to 11. He's the only one here. Then 11, I start lunch. He carries on selling his bread until he's sold out. And I do lunch and dinner, and voila, it works well.
Is this European in concept? Would you find this a bit more in Europe, business sharing?
Right now, as it is in Europe, not so much. But if we talk about 50 years ago, in the little villages, it would be very common to see a coffee shop, a coffee place, that would be also selling bread. And even if you go back in time, most of the places were selling coals. Coals and then coffee, and there was always a little corner that was convenience store, was selling the basic product, and people were going there, and it was like a very social place to go. You know, people were having a coffee, also shopping, and they go. What is not really common is to have two owners that can stand each other for a long period of time, especially dealing with a French woman.
We know you, of course, and the audience would know you from La Régalade at 22nd and Marine Drive in West Vancouver.
And after La Régalade, then I opened another business in Kitsilano called La Cigale, and I run it for about 3-4 years. In the meantime, something great happened to me. I fall in love and I change my life with an Italian fellow. And I run for a bit of time a place after I sold my business called Café Sava in West Vancouver. And I found this place. And I said, okay, change husband, change restaurant from French to Italian. Let's do it.
What did you know of Italian cooking?
Well, I loved it. I have not so much knowledge in Italian cuisine that I have in French cuisine. So I learned a little bit, I read a little bit, and my husband is like my mentor on that. You know, he tells me all the secrets, and I was also helped a lot with my son Steve that we started the business with. He knew a little bit about Italian cuisine, and his fantastic background in French cuisine helped a lot. So we started both of us here, Steve and I as a partner. Then Steve left last year. And it's a bit of a fusion between French and Italian cuisine here. So we manage, and people love the taste of it.
Yeah. It's kind of a French attitude.
It is, yeah. Well, we can't help it.
So take us through a couple of the more popular items on the menu.
Well, what we need to really mention that is, first, all our pasta are made fresh here, handmade. And we are really working with our local suppliers. All the vegetables that we are serving are from farm around here. Right now we work a lot with the North Arm Farm in Pemberton, and also with the Vancouver Farmers Market that supply us all year long. On the top, in summer, we have this beautiful garden that we grow our vegetables. So everything that we grow is served on the plate, and we really try to support local farmers and organic farmers as much as we can. Yeah.
And what have we, the customer, made the most popular dish?
Well, we have two categories of dishes. We have the traditional pasta, like the bolognese, the carbonara, but we have also some interesting dishes, which are the fusion between French and Italian culture. And we go back sometimes to the famous regalat dishes, the short ribs, for example, cooked in a peppercorn sauce. So we will do a pasta with it. Every day we have a special. Yesterday night, for example, we had two different raviolis, one with crab, one with wild mushrooms. So I was looking at my menu and I was thinking, which dish would I take off to make something new? And actually, there is nothing to remove right now. Each of one is a good sale. We have to think about the vegetarian option also, so we have vegetarian dishes.
I had the cassavetti.
Oh, what a good pasta it is. So with the nice pork sausage, touch of fennel, little bit of spice, and some chili oil for some people that love it a little bit more spicy, that we make in-house.
By the way, just a heads up, there is one really great appetizer, San Daniel prosciutto and fresh Italian burrata. And it's assembled right on the edge of the kitchen so you can watch it. Comes on a long board. It's $24 and it's a meal in itself. And I love the fact that at the top of the page, of course, at Orto, is bad dog bread with caramelized onion butter and tapenade.
Oh, well, you know what? It became one of the most popular appetizers. People just take that as an appetizer. The bad dog bread has a nice selection, and we serve that with tapenade, olive oil, and caramelized onion butter.
Brigitte Ray is the owner of Orto Artisan Pasta, 1600 McKay Road, North Vancouver. And now, Brigitte, we come to the white wines and the red wines. Italian mostly?
Well, Italian, and I would say mostly French, because my knowledge in wine is mostly, I'm very comfortable with the French. I've got few Argentinian, but mostly French and Italian. It's a small selection. I don't have a lot of wines, but all the wines that I have, I really like them.
Thank you for the Sancerre.
Yes, thank Sancerre, of course. Sancerre.
Chablis.
Yes, that's my region. I'm from Burgundy originally. And most of the bottles are served by the glass. I would say 80% of the selection is served by the glass too.
Actually, it's interesting. The whites are more French. The reds seem to be the Italians.
Well, I think the French is better for white wine than the Italian. I still think that. but you cannot avoid the Barolo, the Amarone in Italy, and my house wine is Italian also. Yeah, small selection, and we make a point to serve all those wines in our small glasses as they do in Italy in the coffee shop or the bars. No fancy wine glasses here.
No fancy nothing, just great food.
No fancy nothing. Yeah, if you look at my plates, they are all different. They are cute little plates that I get mostly from the Salvation Army, and we break them a lot, so, but they are so cute. People like this little touch. It's like a family style here. People have the feeling that they are inviting to a friend's place, and that's really what I like here.
Are you seeing people from Regalado days?
Oh, of course, yeah. People kind of like me. I don't know if they like the food or if they like me. But I would say about 70% are repeat customers from La Regalado, yeah.
All right, so those people that we've interested, when do you open? How many days?
So here we open 5 days a week. We're closed on Sunday, Monday. And we open lunch 11 to 3, dinner 5 to 9.
You have a website?
Orto Artisan Pasta.
OrtoArtisanPasta.com. Or maybe we can shorten that to just Orto.
Yes, I think you'll find me. Orto would be here. Orto, which means vegetable garden in Italian.
Really?
Really.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you, Terry. It has been a pleasure to see you here.
I love that you're in the neighborhood. I absolutely love this, and I want people to know about you. Brigitte Ray, Orto Artisan Pasta, 1600 McKay Road, North Vancouver, right around the corner from Everything Wine in North Vancouver, just off Marine Drive.
Thank you so much.
Can't wait for the deck to open. Thank you.
I can't either. Oh, it's going to be so nice.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The Big Day Out Party, May 26th from 11 to 4. You get to taste the new releases with winemaker Dan Wright, vineyard tours, and if you're a member of the wine club, it's your chance to pick up your annual case. The same day, it's the Big Day Out Winemaker's Dinner with Chef Martin and winemaker Dan. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasty Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. April 14th, you can meet Mr. Merle. Check in for the spring wine club season, pick up your selections, and meet Mr. Merle. It's a brand new 100% Merlot from Colford Farms. Johnny Bernard's on the barbecue. And the Prince of Tides, Grayson Reardon, will lead some interpretive dance. Details at thehatchwines.com.
Pedro Parr. Pedro.
Great picture.
Thank you, man. You've brought your wines here today.
Yeah, the wines are there, yeah.
What did you bring to pour?
I'm pouring the Imaginador, which is a 100% pure blend. And I'm pouring the Pencopolatano. It's a blend from... Senso is also Malbec Carignan.
Where did you grow these?
I'm growing out in Itata. Itata is the south of Chile. It's, in my opinion, the most unique small place and terroir in South America.
What makes it unique?
You know, different things. First, it was planted by Spanish people, okay, 500 years ago.
Wow.
So it's remained the oldest vineyard with not graft in the world. Was planted. We were lucky in a fantastic terroir, and it remains there pure.
What do those vines look like?
They look fantastic. So it's bush vines, and the most important thing, because it's far away the capital, far away from the money and the big industries, is remain pure, almost abandoned. But people never abandoned then the viticulturists.
What did they plant a couple hundred years ago?
So that was planted with from a Spanish grape that comes from the Canary Island. Yeah. It's called Listan Prieto. And then was planted 80 years ago also with another grape from the south of France. It's called Senso. So we have basically two grapes, two red grapes. It's great.
How did they survive?
Vigneron. People that understand how to make it happen, you know. Very poor people, very poor farmers. You know, that place didn't have electricity 20 years ago. So the only thing that they do, and they do that very well, is farm vineyards, generation after generation after generation. So they're amazing farmers, basically.
Who was it who got you to come to British Columbia to work the land?
The cycle was David Scofield, yeah, bring Alberto Antonini. And Alberto Antonini introduced me with David Scofield, maybe in 2010. David wanted to make a project that were more conceptual and more intellectual, maybe, I think, than the other project in the Okanagan. And so he wanted to plant a new vineyard, making things in a different rhythm of music.
And they needed someone to read the soil.
Yeah, he needed somebody, more than understanding the soil, he needed somebody who understand wine through soil.
Yeah.
So he, David, has a clear idea on what he wanted to do. The question was, can we do it or not? So my role is to come here, take a look, understand the geology, and following the geology, be able to give an advice. Yes, I think we can do it, or not, we cannot do it. And my advice was, yes, we can do it, of course.
How long does it take to learn that skill?
20 years. So I learned, you learn every day. So basically, I went through a very intense 5 years learning in France in the school, you know. I did a master's degree and a PhD. So you learn the basics. And then you learn in the street, basically. You learn in the vineyards on time, little by little. So I've traveled a lot, and especially you met very good producers of wine. And through talking to people, drinking wine, you know, you learn. So it's long.
I know they're going to wrap this up. I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Well, the first is, what do you see as the future of BC and wine growing? Are we doing what's right for the land? Are the wines going to get better? Are we going to smarten up and learn what we're doing?
I think yes, because it takes time. Normally, the scale time for wine is long, so we cannot judge a place for 10 years. So the place, the terroir in general, is more than good.
Yeah.
Some places are very good, some places can be outstanding.
Yeah.
So the place is there. Then what you need is the people, and the people is little by little. So if you think on the new world, happens in 50 years. So in Okanagan, it's happening now in 10, so it's going to go fast. I think maybe in 10 more years, it's going to be very interesting.
And finally, the Garnet Valley, which is one of your projects. What's the possibilities there in that valley?
So the Garnet Valley is like a son to me. I design in it. So it's like when you compose something, so that was composed. And I tasted the wines today, and I'm very impressed. I mean, the wines I tried today, I 2 times better than what I expected it.
Yeah.
And I expected it very high. So it's 2 times higher than the one I expected. So I think it's going to be unique.
Thank you for this, and thank you for your skills and bringing in them to British Columbia, and get home safely.
Thank you very much. I'm going home in 3 days, so it's my harvest next week.
Pedro Parr.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. This from their Hobo series. Mueller Thurgau was a class of grapes referred to as hybrids. In the 80s and 90s, these workhouse grapes were scorned and systematically eradicated from the valley. But what was old is new again, and the few remaining patches of now noble and old vines have been rediscovered and revived. Check out The Hatch 2016 Mueller Thurgau at thehatchwines.com. My thanks to Pedro Parra, Alberto Antonini, the wonderful Bridget Ray, and the most amazing storyteller in all of wine, Jane Ferrari from Yolumba. Next week, we're going to visit with the members of the Okanagan Falls Winery Association. Blasted Church, Bonamici, Crescent Hill, Liquidity, Meyer Family, Nighthawk, Noble Ridge, Pantage, Skaha, Stags Hollow, St. Ramesh, and Wild Goose, all in one show. Okanagan Falls Winery, next week on Tasting Room Radio. Check out all the details at tastingroomradio.com.